Take your Bibles, please, our textbook, and turn to Acts chapter 6. We got through with about one half of the lesson last week on Stephen. If you need an outline, you didn't think to bring yours back with you, or you need one, maybe you were not here last week. If you'd lift your hand, the men have some here. Just keep them up a moment, they'll get you one. We'll review the first part so you can fill in the blanks anyway and study it on your own time. And then we'll try to finish up the lesson today. We have one more lesson in this series, Portraits of Grace. These are verbal portraits, pretty much, of grace and some of the main people that had challenges and how they handled those with the grace of God and the power of God in their lives. And so we will have one more lesson, and then we'll go into another study that I think you'll enjoy. We'll try to have those books for you. They will actually be books that you'll have to keep, and you can study ahead with those books, the student manuals, and then be prepared for the class as it comes up. And I think that'll be an asset to you. So that'll be coming week after next. And we may have those books for you next week. We'll see what we can do about that. All right? Acts chapter 6. And we'll refer to some of these verses as we go along. I won't take time right now to reread all of them. But those first few verses are very important and gives us some history about Stephen, what happened here. And Stephen, in your outline, number one, Stephen's grace to serve, his grace to serve. This was an exciting time in the early days of the church where they had 3,000 saved and then 5,000 saved, and they had a big church and they had a lot of needs, and there were some problems that developed in that church. And so as they had those challenges, the apostles said, we want to be given to the Word of God and studying and doing all of that. And we need someone to help us out with, especially and particularly with these ladies, these widows that were there in the church. And so they saw the need, and they were told to pray and find some qualified men to become what we believe, probably most people would agree, that they were the first deacons that were enlisted there in the church. That's what the word deacon means. Diakonos, the Greek word, means servant. And so these were to help out, and they were to serve. In Acts 6:2, if you'll look there just a second in verse 2, Acts 6, verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And that was important for them to be able to do that. So we have Stephen, who qualifies as a man full of faith. Now, he wasn't necessarily a great orator or eloquent as far as the Bible says, but because he had the power of the Spirit of God on him, that's what made him effective in his preaching. So he was a man, A in your outline, full of faith, a man full of faith. Stephen's grace to serve, and then he qualified as a man full of faith. Acts 6:5a, the first part, he talks about that, a man full of faith. The question could be posed to us today, and we ought to deal with it. Are we people of faith? Could it be said of you? Would you say to yourself today, I am a person full of faith? And yet we should be full of faith. And that's important in order to please the Lord and to be able to do that. Now, do we have faith? Well, how do we get faith? And we know that it's not possible to serve God properly without faith. Hebrews 11:6. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. And that's talking about God. For he that cometh to God must believe, number one, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we need to have faith. And that's exactly what Stephen had. And then besides that, he had the fullness, B in your outline. He was full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Spirit. They're one and the same. Don't get confused. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, same term, talking about the third person of the Trinity. And so in Acts 6, 5a, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. He was full of faith, a man that had faith, and full of the Holy Ghost. Now, what does that mean to be full of the Holy Ghost? Well, we could teach a month on that probably, but just barely touching the surface, I would simply use the word there, control, that we are controlled by the Holy Ghost. We're emptied, dead to self, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. And Romans 8:9 says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. In other words, first you got to be saved. He moves in. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you're saved, you have the Spirit of Christ. If you're not, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not saved. In Ephesians, he gives us in 5:18 an illustration, an analogy. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Or it could be read this way, be ye being filled with the Spirit. We lose the filling sometime. We don't lose our salvation. We lose the filling. We take control, lose the filling of the Holy Spirit. We have to confess our sin, ask for fresh filling of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. And so, be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's the key to our victory. And there's no reason for us to be defeated if we are full of the Holy Spirit. And then see in your outline, full of power, full of power. Now, obviously God's hand was upon him because verse 8 says, Stephen was full of faith and power, full of faith and power, and did wonders and miracles among the people. And God had enabled them and equipped them to be able to do that. We think that we don't have power, and we know there were some things that were given to the apostles that we don't have today, but basically, all the other things, other than those that were temporary gifts, we should have that kind of power in our lives. It's available to us. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. And that means that we are, number one, we should be witnessing. Number two, the power we have for victorious life and witnessing is through the Holy Spirit of God. So we see Stephen's grace to serve. Secondly, in your outline, Stephen's grace to stand. His grace to serve, and then his grace to stand, preach, and witness. Acts 6, verses 8 through 10, if you'll look at those verses. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. He was truly a man of faith and power, and had the grace to stand for the Lord, and they couldn't. They were not able to resist his wisdom. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You and I can expect difficulty. They had difficulty. Stephen had difficulty. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of God, we can stand for the glory of God. And so we have to expect that difficulty as it comes into our life. A in your outline there under number two is he stood with the Scriptures. He stood with the Scriptures. He was full of faith, Acts 6:5, but he stood with the Scriptures. Now, how do we get faith? How do we really get the depth of faith we need to get? Well, it's very clear, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if your faith is weak, you need to spend more time in the Bible. and you read the Bible and study the Bible and see the life of the men of God and women of God and others and what God did, and it'll increase your faith and see God's sovereign control, all of that. So we need to saturate ourselves with Scripture so that we get more faith. We have faith, and we choose to exercise that kind of faith. Now, we'll pick up where we left off last week, as I left off with the illustration of the person asking about, the Sunday school teacher asking the little boys about who tore down the walls of Jericho. And I know they fell down and God did it, but they went to the deacons. You remember I told you that story. And they asked the deacons, they said, well, we don't know who did it for sure, but we're not sure which one of the boys did it. Well, let's just take some money out of the church savings building fund and we'll rebuild the walls and don't worry about it. So, but the point being there is this, that many, and this is true, many leaders in our churches today don't know the Bible. I'm just telling you, and lay people too. We just don't spend enough time in the Bible. We don't know the Bible like we should. We need to know it. A student asked me out in the seminary a while back, said, if you had to do something different about your ministry all along, and there were a couple of things, two or three things I told him, but I said, one thing I would do, I would have spent more time in the Bible. And I spent quite a bit of time in the Bible, but I would have spent much more time in the Word of God. But we need to dig in the Word of God. Dig. Don't just read it and say, check mark, I got through my devotions. No, dig, meditate, learn what it's saying. Put it into your heart and mind. And so Stephen did that, and he had confidence, and that's why I believe he had faith to share the gospel like he did. And boy, did he ever do that. He shared it. Now remember who he's talking to, Acts 6, 9 through 10. As he talked about these different groups and where they were from, these are the people he's talking to, plus the Jewish people that were there. And you had scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and everybody else that was around. And so he went into the synagogue, which is called the Synagogue of the Libertines. Now, the Libertines, Pompey took them into captivity, captured them as slaves, and then they had been repatriated to this land around Jerusalem during that time, around Israel. And they had their own ethnic synagogues according to where they came from and sometimes the language they were speaking and all of that. And so they were back in there. And so they had the Synagogue of the Libertines, Synagogue of the Cyrenians, Synagogue of the Alexandrians, Cilicia, and all of that. They had these synagogues. Well, he went in there and he was going to preach and give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they, as they heard, they were there as enemies of the gospel, but as they heard Stephen, they couldn't argue with him. His wisdom was too great for them, and they realized that. That was Holy Spirit wisdom given him in the faith that he had. So here's the thing. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to have the courage to witness. We're going to have the courage to share the gospel. We're not going to be intimidated. We're going to communicate the gospel. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that. 1 Corinthians 2, 1, and then verse 4. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not, notice, with excellency of speech or of wisdom. By the way, Paul was educated in the Harvard of his day, the school of Gamaliel. And I mean, he was brilliant, brilliant guy. But he said, I don't come to you in excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power. He had faith. He knew he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he wasn't ashamed to witness and to preach. And you and I need that combination of the Word of God in our hearts and the Spirit of God controlling our lives so that we can stand in this generation just like the generation he had to face, only in some different ways, and yet stand and speak out for God. So he was targeted for sure but he had courage, faith, and he stood. And we need people to do like that. We need some three Hebrew children type people and Daniel type people. And when they told him, don't pray anymore, and he kept on praying as he always had prayed because it was right and he was obeying God. Acts 6, 4, 11, verses 11 through 14. And they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. These were their accusations. We've heard him say, in verse 14, that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, the temple, and shall change the customs which Moses delivered, or destroy the synagogues. Whatever they could come up with, they were accusing Stephen of doing that. And these probably were false witnesses that they had paid money to say those things. It wasn't true. What they said was not true. He did make some statements, but they twisted it and they made it something that it wasn't right. And this is a very serious charge to them, blasphemy. You couldn't be charged with anything any greater, hardly by them, than to say you're blaspheming the name of God. Now, we may not have that same situation, but we do run into people that don't like us, don't we? We run into people that make fun of us. We run into people that say we're dumb, we're uneducated, we're idiotic because of what we believe. But the thing that upsets them the most is the fact that you're a Christian. You can do anything else. And then when you really start talking about Jesus Christ, not just God, everybody sort of believes in some kind of God, but when you pin it down and start talking about Jesus is the Savior, he was deity, he was God in the flesh, and he's the only way to heaven, brother, get ready, because some of the people are going to, they won't throw stones at you, but they might throw some verbal words at you, and they certainly would not appreciate what you're saying. But we should not be discouraged. We should go ahead and do it and speak up for God. And this thing of, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, we got to be careful. You got to do it in love. But we need to be speaking up. One of the reasons we're in the mess we're in today in America is Christians have been so passive over the last centuries almost. But we've been so passive that we just haven't had that impact. We need a revival among God's people. And Matthew tells us in 5:11-12, blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Happy, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. This is a key word, falsely. Now, if it's true, you're in trouble. If they can say, well, I saw him with another woman, or I know they're drinking and I know they're doing this and they can prove it and they have the proof, that's different. But saying all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, How should we react? Well, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Expect it. The prophets were persecuted. We're not going to be liked in this world system, but we're to stand up for God anyway. And yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You just, if you stand up for God, some people are not going to like you. And there are different aspects of where you'd have to pay that price. James 1, 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, different kinds of trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let it happen. Trust in the Lord. So, what happens when we are persecuted is our relationship with Jesus Christ is strengthened. Anytime you're persecuted, anytime you're misunderstood, and you pay a little price of that, somehow it helps draw you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, our relationship. And what Satan tries to do is defeat God's work all the time. But what we need to do is defy him in the name of the Lord. And stand firm. Acts 6:15, in verse 15 of Acts chapter 6, the scripture says, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. That's when they looked at Stephen. That's what they observed as he stood firm for the Lord. And I might point out here, I think it's so important that they didn't see hatred, okay? They did not see hatred or anger in his face. They saw the love of Jesus. And his face, they said, was like an angel. In other words, God's grace was just poured out through his demeanor, through the way he presented himself, because it was real. And God's grace poured out. So stand for the faith and be assured that God is with you and he'll help you. And then thirdly, we see Stephen's grace to sustain. His grace to sustain. In the last hours of his life, Merle Dean gave me a book about the last words of people just before they died. And I've enjoyed reading that. I go back and read it again and again. You wouldn't believe someone was like, just bring me some whiskey so I can die happy or something like that. I mean, some of them were good, but most of them are sort of pagan. But I can say that this is the grace of God that was with Stephen just before he died. He was stoned. He was the first martyr. And yet, look at his countenance. Look at the grace that God gave him. A, sustained in preaching. He was sustained in preaching. And at the end of his message, look at Acts 7:51. And verses 51 and 52. You think we get a little rough sometimes. Listen to what he's saying. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, Jesus, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Wow. He didn't pull any punches, did he? Yet he loved them and he didn't show anger, but he was just preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the conclusion of his message. When he came, he went back over the history. He preached unafraid, preached boldly, went back over some of the history of the Jews and a number of things that God had done for them, reminded them why Jesus came, and then he rebuked those who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. That's very plain, very plain. And he called them stiff-necked, and they did not heed the Holy Spirit. And he told them the truth about Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, that took Holy Spirit boldness. That took faith on his part, and we should have the same kind of faith. He told the truth about Christ. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God, how? Timidly. No, with boldness. With boldness. Why? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were not ashamed of the gospel. They were not ashamed to speak up. Hugh Latimer in 1555, Queen Mary had him burned at the stake, but he was an English preacher who lived during the reign of King Henry VIII, and then Latimer once preached before the king. The king heard what he said, heard Latimer's message, and he hated Latimer for his boldness. And he demanded that he apologize the next Sunday for his message. And Hugh Latimer, the following Sunday, instead of apologizing, he preached exactly the very same message one more time. And because he had even more boldness to do it. Now, he paid a price in the long run for it. But the world says, tone it down. Be politically correct. But God says, no, speak up. Speak out. And do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then B, he was sustained in persecution. Sustained in persecution. Acts 7:54 through 60. And beginning with verse 54, the scripture says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. Wow. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen. Wow. He preached, and this was the action that they gave him. And all the way through verse 60, it tells about it. So they were angry. They rushed him. They didn't like the name of Jesus. And that was something that enrages a lot of people. As I've already said, how do we react? Well, do we hide? Are we ashamed? Are we afraid to speak up? In Acts 7:55, he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven, saw the glory of God, Jesus standing on the right hand, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. The Sanhedrin saw love, but they were filled with hate. Stephen followed the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say? Lay not this sin to their charge. What did Jesus say on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the love of God coming through. And it takes the grace of God and a lot of faith to do that. But Stephen could do this because he had the power of God. And they cast him out of the city. But guess what? There was a young man standing there by the name of Saul. And they laid the garments there at his feet. Saul later got saved and wrote 2/3 of our New Testament. Because of Stephen's faith, because of Stephen's boldness, because he told the truth, and he had a great impact, Acts 9:3-5, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth, heard a voice, Saul, Saul. Saul got saved, all right? And probably, perhaps, when this was going on the road to Damascus, I wouldn't be surprised that his mind went back when he saw Stephen being murdered, being killed with stones, and heard what he said. And then Paul became what we believe the first missionary, and even though there was persecution. Now, you may think sometimes people don't understand you and they don't like you and all of that, but you'd be surprised how many of them would come to you later if they're in trouble. And you'll also be surprised at how powerful your witness really is to someone. You may never know about it until you get to heaven someday and you meet them up there. But we need to walk in the Spirit and help them come to Christ. D.L. Moody once heard a preacher say, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to him. And Moody said that night, I want to be that man. By God's grace, I'll be that man. He shook 2 continents, and over 1 million people were saved because he wanted to be that man, filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom and preaching for the glory of God. Stephen was a simple man. The one who lived in him, the Holy Spirit, made him special and powerful. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you, the Holy Spirit, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So what do we take away from this? Just 3 quick things. Number 1, know what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Know what it means. And if you don't, you're not sure and you need some more information about it, well, see me, I'll tell you, but you should be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Ask God to do that. And then make Bible reading a priority. That will give you the faith you need. And then rely on God's strength, not yours, not your education or lack of it or your personality or whatever, but rely on God's strength to help you as you witness for Him. He's with you, and He'll bless you, and He'll see you through it for His glory. Thank God for a man like Stephen. Amen? And we have a great example, not just to be familiar with him, but to copy, to be like him who was like the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you again for the Word of God that gives us our instruction. Help us to be people of the Word, that we might be people of faith and to walk in the fullness, the full control of the Holy Spirit on our tongue, on our lives, on our demeanor. In Jesus' name, amen.